hopefully this time we do have Dominic Aldworth on the line. Good evening and welcome to the Sports Bar. Hello, good evening and welcome to the Sports Bar.
Rich.
Dominic.
How are you doing?
Very good, very good. We had a few problems getting hold of you, Dominic, so many thanks for phoning us back. And as I was just telling the listeners, we've played cricket many times in the past, and of course you yourself represented South African schoolboys. Now, this tragedy of Philip Hughes, I mean, some people are advocating that the bouncer be banned, but I don't really feel as though that is the answer, do you?
Well, no, I mean, absolutely not. And, you know, in the beginning, good evening to all the listeners out there and obviously to all of you guys in the studio. And a very unfortunate incident that happened, of course, that's really rocked the foundations of cricket. And, no, I mean, Rich, you know, obviously reading all the reports coming out and seeing some of the reaction by former players, and the general consensus is no. You know, you can't remove the bouncer from cricket and certainly from a bowler's armoury whatsoever because of this freak accident, although there certainly should be an inquiry into equipment and how batsmen can be made safer within the sport.
Now, obviously, what people are saying is that one area of the head that hasn't been protected is the back of the neck, and this, of course, was the area that caused the fatal blow to Philip Hughes.
Yeah, it did. You know, obviously, I won't describe the injury because it's just horrific to even think about. But, you know, actually, oddly enough, a lot of these companies that are developing this cricket equipment and helmets to protect cricketers around the world, it never occurred to them to protect the back of the neck. And I was just reading something that Nasser Hussain mentioned in the media today, former England captain Nasser Hussain, saying that you will probably start to see little clip-on pieces that could potentially clip onto the back of the helmet to cover the neck area. But it was also interesting to hear what Ashley Giles was saying as well, that a lot of his players that he's been in charge of in the past, a lot of them have been using older helmets as well. And I have actually seen a new helmet that's come out in recent times, which, oddly enough, goes the other way. It's actually got a much shorter back coming down the neck to make it more comfortable for the batsman, and I'm sure that helmet will certainly be ruled out under new regulations.
Absolutely. Now, the thing about this tragedy is that it really does seem to have unified the international cricket community, both not just at an international level, but even at small club level.
It hasn't just, Rich. And, you know, social media, it's been rather touching to see some of the tributes that have been put around social media, Facebook and Twitter, by some of the leading media guys within Australian cricket and world cricket. But also, as you mentioned, all the way down to grassroots level as well. And there was actually a gentleman from grassroots cricket that's been a part of his life for the last 20 or 30 years, that started a tribute by leaning a cricket bat up against the wall with his cap on, taking a photograph of that and sending out through to social media. And that's gone viral in the last 24 hours. And everybody has now started to do this particular tribute. English cricketers, South African cricketers, New Zealand cricketers, you name it, Surrey Cricket Club, have all started to do this, and it's a very special tribute for Philip Hughes.
Now, Dominic, I was talking to the boys in the studio about how the introduction of helmets has in many ways changed the approach of batsmen to the game. And I was telling them in sort of days gone by, if you watch old black and white footage, you'll see the batsmen very often swaying out of the way, keeping their eye on the ball until the very, very last minute. And often, I mean, they would sway so far backwards that they would end up losing their balance and landing on their backside.
Very much so. I mean, you know, Rich, I was very lucky to have some tremendous coaching at school as a young cricketer. And one thing we were always taught, against the short ball, against any delivery, never, ever take your eyes off the ball. Watch it onto the bat. And in this particular case, in a short delivery, drop your hands and sway out the way. And you're talking about black and white footage. Of course, that had to be affirmative action when you were facing the four horsemen of the Acropolis, i.e. the likes of Croft Marshall, Joel Garner from that great West Indian side. And Robin Smith, former England batsman, was a very good exponent of that. And although he did wear a helmet, he never actually wore a grill in the front. And, you know, this was a guy that was very good at square cutting the ball and very good at pulling the ball as well. But, of course, when that bouncer is aimed at the throat or at the head, there was no better player of that delivery than Robin Smith. And as you said, I mean, he would simply sway back and literally watch the ball past his nose. And it seems to be a technique that has crept out of the game certainly over the last sort of 10 to 15 years. And I think more so to do with T20 cricket, because it's important, you know, to avoid getting a dot ball, so to speak, in the shorter format. You know, runs is what wins you games. So people have actually learned to play the hook shot a lot better. But obviously in four-day cricket, five-day cricket, it is far better to leave the ball alone and, as you say, sway out the way and watch the ball go past.
Now, this incident with Philip Hughes, this accident, he took his eye off the ball and tried to duck, didn't he?
He did, Rich, and it was a very awkward angle that young Sean Abbott was delivering the ball. I mean, Sean Abbott is a right arm, and he was bowling right arm over the wicket. And, of course, Philip Hughes is a left-handed batsman. So the ball would have been coming at him from a very awkward angle, and it really was. It had pinpoint accuracy, and, you know, I hate to say it, but as a fast bowler, when you want to drop one short, that's exactly the sort of areas that you actually are aiming for. If Philip Hughes was a right-handed batsman, it would have been far easier for him to have avoided that by keeping his eyes on the ball. But just at that last minute, because of the angle, there would have been a blind spot there for him. And he was halfway through trying to duck underneath it, because that is the only evasive action he could have taken, considering the angle of the delivery. But unfortunately, it was actually quite a fast surface as well, and he just simply couldn't get out of the way on time.
I mean, but I suppose, perversely, if he had tried to play the hook shot, he would have been more face on to the ball and the accident wouldn't have occurred.
That is true. You know, Philip Hughes is known to be somebody that liked to play the hook, hence the reason why it was a plan for many bowling attacks around the world to drop the ball short at him and encourage him to place that shot with a fielder placed in a position where hopefully he would spoon a catch to the fielder. So it was very much a tactic. Steve Harmison, former England bowler, was actually made to do this particular tactic against him in 2009 when he was playing against Australia A for England A. Because Philip Hughes was a very attacking player, liked to play the hook shot, and of course the square cut, but very often hit it in aerial spaces. So of course it was very much tactic. And had Philip Hughes had managed to get hold of that, it more than likely would have gone for six.
I mean, and the other thing we should mention, about this incident is how it might affect the sport over the next year or so.
Well, we all know how it's affected us guys that love the game of cricket. It must be very difficult. You know, let's take for example, a Pakistan-New Zealand third and final test match taking place. They suspended the second day's play and they got back down to business again today. You know, for any of those bowlers running into bowl today, the fast bowlers especially, their approach would have changed completely. I'm sure you would have seen 95% of deliveries being pitched up to the bat. And, you know, more pointedly now, you know, India is supposed to be taking on Australia in 3 to 4 days' time in the Test series. They're down under. You know, how will Mitchell Johnson's approach to be to the game? Mitchell Johnson, the great fast bowler for the last 4 or 5 years in world cricket, gets the majority of his wickets through the sheer pace and bounce that he delivers to batsmen, really pushing them onto the back foot with his short deliveries and then throwing the fuller delivery in there and catching them on the crease, either leg before wicket, bowling them with his sheer pace or caught behind. And, you know, that's
but, Dominic, you'd have to say that his level of intimidation was fairly mild in comparison to that magnificent West Indies team of the 70s and 80s.
Oh, very much so. I mean, goodness me. I mean, this is as close that we've seen to that sort of intimidation, certainly since that era. Will there ever be an era like that again? I really don't know. But, you know, you had those four quick bowlers for the West Indies, and that generation continued a little bit further on with Walsh and Ambrose. And let's not forget, there was probably 4 or 5 other bowlers that couldn't even make that side that were almost as quick and intimidating batsmen around the county circuits for many, many years. So, you know, back there in that era, and very often on uncovered pitches as well, with very limited protection, it was a lot more difficult for the batsmen than it is now. But, you know, I think it really will, in the short term, change the approach, the psyche of a lot of fast bowlers in world cricket. But I think it might gradually, as people sort of move on, it'll
Dominic, do you think there's a chance that Sean Abbott will never play cricket again?
Well, very much so. You know, again, David Lawrence, former England fast bowler, whose career unfortunately ended short due to injury. I mean, the only other incident I can remember is when he hit Phil Simmons, the West Indian opening batsman, on the head as a young man. Simmons, at that time, was not wearing a helmet. Simmons collapsed, was rushed to hospital. They had to remove a part of his skull just to release the pressure on his brain. But David Lawrence happened to say the one opportunity I had was to be there by his bedside, hold his hand, and tell him the day after how sorry he was, but also to hear hear the West Indian turn around and say, it wasn't your fault, mate, it's okay. You know, young Sean Abbott didn't even have that opportunity to say that to his friend and for his friend to respond. And I do say that they were friends for many years, having come through the Australian ranks together.
I was listening to a fascinating interview with Peter Lever the other day. And Peter Lever was the English bowler who nearly killed Ewan Chatfield, the New Zealand player,